Gentlemen, tonight Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in Columbia Pictures' charming story, The Talk of the Town. It stars Virginia Bruce as Nora, Alan Jocelyn as Dilg, and Ronald Coleman in his original role as Michael Lightcap. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in The Talk of the Town.
Extra, extra, woolen mills go up in fire, extra, extra.
Extra, mill foreman dead, Clyde Bracken missing in fire, extra, extra.
Extra, owner accuses factory workers.
Leopold Dilg held for murder and arson. Extra, Leopold Dilg escapes from jail.
Extra, all about the Dilg escape.
Killer breaks down, police march on.
Arson, murder, newspaper headlines. Frankly, I wasn't even thinking about them that night. You see, we'd rented our country cottage for the summer to a college professor, a Mr. Lightcap, dean of some big law school in Boston. He was coming down the following morning, and I was whipping through the house trying to get things into shape. It's a lonely place and very quiet. No sound that night except the rain until... There's the door. The front door. Opening slowly. And I don't know how I even managed to move, but suddenly I was standing there with an iron poker in my hand and... No, you don't. Not another step.
I
move and I'll let you have it. I'll brain you. Leopold. Leopold Dilg.
It's Shelley Nora.
Dilg. He was out like the help on Thursday night. And I must say that lying there on the floor, his head cut open and his clothes all sopping from the rain, he rather looked like a hunted murderer. But then he opened his eyes and his voice was gentle, almost reproachful.
Miss Shelley, do I look like a man who'd burned down a factory?
Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. You were always the wildest boy in the class.
You were always the prettiest girl.
And afterward, such a reputation. Speeches on street corners, petitions, meetings... What's the matter with you, anyway?
Some people write music, some people write books. I make speeches on street corners.
Listen, Dilg, you'll have to clear out. This house is rented to a Mr. Lightcap, a professor. He's coming in tomorrow morning, so you better... Oh.
The police. You wouldn't want to lend me that poker, would you?
No. Get up those stairs, the attic. Go on. Yes, yes, I'm coming. Listen, if you policemen think you can... Oh.
Miss Shelley?
Yes, I'm Nora Shelley.
My name is Michael Lightcap.
Professor Lightcap. Oh, but you weren't due till tomorrow morning. Your secretary wrote me that...
My secretary is getting married. She's rather confused.
Oh, but we're so upset. The house isn't even ready. If you could just stay at the hotel tonight.
Miss Shelley, I've just driven all the way from Boston. I'm cold and wet, and I despise hotels.
You mean...
My meaning should be obvious. I'm going to stay.
Law professor, huh? Where is he now?
In his room, unpacking. Dilg, you've got to get out.
How? My ankle's so swollen I can hardly walk.
Oh, dear.
Now, don't worry about me. I'll be all right. It's warm up here and dry.
Say, what do you think you're going to do?
What can I do? I'm going to stay.
Miss Shelley, I've just finished 9 weary months of teaching young men the rudiments of the law. I came down here to write a book. I need peace and quiet and undisturbed rest. Now, will you please explain why you knocked on my door?
Well, Professor, you see, it's my mother. We don't get along. We had the most awful quarrel today. And besides, I've got to get this place straightened. I wasn't expecting you till tomorrow. And there's an extra bedroom down the hall.
Miss Shelley, just what are you proposing to do?
Well, if you lend me some pajamas, I'm going to stay.
You know, it's really kind of funny. The law in the front bedroom and crime in the attic.
And little Nora in the middle. Dilg, if I were only sure you're innocent.
Which you're not.
Or that the professor might thaw a little.
Which he won't.
Or that I could help by hanging around.
Which you'll try.
Which I'll try. Let's wait and see what happens in the morning. But after all, Professor, you have to eat. You'll need someone to cook.
Miss Shelley, I was planning
and
to
someone
call
who can take they... dictation. Isn't your secretary getting married?
Yes, she is. That's true.
Then don't you see I'm the perfect solution. Cook and secretary, secretary and cook.
Miss Shelley, I admire what you do with an egg. but I dictate 150 words a minute.
Well, some people think more slowly than others. Honestly, you're getting a bargain.
But I haven't
Only
agreed.
$40 a week and board. But I'll set up a bridge table in the garden. We can work out there. Believe me, Professor, you'll never regret it.
I wonder. In the 18th century, it became the aim of lawmakers and law administrators to build the law firmly on principles which are above the small emotions, the greed and loose thinking of everyday life.
Bless you.
Thank you.
That rain last night, you're catching cold.
Dodson, did you get that last paragraph? I'll repeat.
To build the law firmly on principles which are above the small emotions, the greed and loose thinking of everyday life.
Oh, impossible.
I beg your pardon?
Well, actually, what is the law? A gun that's pointed at somebody's head. All that counts is, what end of the gun are you on?
Miss Shelley, who is this man?
He's the gardener. Joseph, this is Mr. Lightcap, Professor Lightcap.
Glad to know you, Professor. Now, this idea of yours about the law.
Joseph, how are the zinnias getting on?
Dying. Well, I mean, Professor, it represents the ideal. And don't get me wrong, I like people who think in terms of ideal conditions.
Yes, you're very kind. Now, if you'll devote a little thought to the zinnias, Joseph,
Bless you.
Thank you. Now, you'll be so kind, I must get out with my dictation.
Yeah, I know, but it would do you good to talk to someone like me. I'm a practical man. I have certain very practical relations with the law.
Joseph, the zinnias.
Yes, they'll keep. Now, you see, Professor, you're lost in theory. What about facts? What about the Dilb case, for instance?
The Dilb case? When was that reported?
Oh, it isn't stuffed into a law book yet. Because it isn't dead. You see, it's alive right here in this town. And if Dilb had a man like you on his side...
Oh, nonsense, impossible. I haven't practiced for years. Besides, I'm sure the fellow must have a lawyer.
Oh, certainly. The state gave him one, only Dilb wouldn't take him. He says he's innocent. And why should an innocent man need a lawyer?
Oh, an original thinker. Hmm?
You bet. The only honest man in this town.
Now, Joseph, really?
Oh, sure. He's been yelling about Andrew Holmes for years. The man who owns the woolen mills. The man who owns this whole town. The courts, the papers, everything. And Dilb had the gumption to stand up and talk back to him. So what happens? Dilb predicts the mills will burn down. They do. The foreman, Clyde Bracken's, burned to death. Holmes starts to scream. It was Dilb, he says. Go and get him, he says.
My dear chap, I must
ask you. So they toss Dilb into jail, and the papers start working the town into a frenzy. Even the judge says he's out to get Dilb. Before the trial's even begun. Dilb knows he hasn't got a chance, so he breaks jail and makes a run for
him. Yes, and they're looking for him now. And the way this town is all worked up, if they ever find him...
Miss Shelley, I'm sorry, but my business is with the principle of the law. The philosophy behind it. My concern is...
My concern is with that cold. Professor, you're going straight up to bed. Come on now. Finish that chicken. You behave yourself and finish that chicken. You may possibly be out of bed tomorrow.
Miss Shelley, I must remind you, I don't like chicken.
You'll eat it anyway.
And I don't like being treated like a child.
Then stop acting like one.
Oh.
Well, that's better. Frankly, isn't this much better than eating alone?
When I eat alone, I read.
You read too much. That's what I've been thinking. Too many books, not enough people.
Really?
Yes, I have a feeling people don't talk very freely to you.
I must say, you don't seem to suffer from that trouble.
How's the hot water bottle holding up?
Quite all right. Now, there's no need to look. Miss Shelley, no, please.
My goodness, you got the most ticklish feet. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello? Is Professor Lightcap there?
Yes, just a moment, please. For you, Professor.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Hello, Michael. This is James Boyd.
Why, Senator Boyd, how did you know where I was?
They told me at your home. Michael, that young lady who answered the phone, your secretary?
Yes, in a way. You see, I came down here to write a book, and just this morning
Perhaps
I was...
You'd better come back and write it in Boston.
Oh, nonsense. Now, Mr. Grundy, stop imagining...
Michael, this is no laughing matter. I have news for you. Important news.
Yes? Well, what is it, James?
You must be very careful in the coming weeks. Keep your name out of the papers in any connection. Avoid any possible hint of scandal.
Now, Senator.
Michael, listen. You're to be named to the Supreme Court bench. Would you be willing?
to act it.
I know how much this means to you, Michael. Believe me, I'm as happy as you are. I'll try to run down and see you later this week.
Thank you, James. Well, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Sounded like good news, Professor.
Yes. Yes, very good news. Miss Shelley, have you ever worked for anything night and day, sacrificed everything else, hardly daring to hope you would achieve it?
Well, yes, I wanted to be editor of our high school paper. I gave up movies. I let my boyfriend go out with other girls. I sat up until 3 a.m. writing editorials.
And?
A redhead got the job and a blonde got my boyfriend.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, I got over it.
To think of it, the Supreme Court. At my age. Miss Shelley, how old would you say I am?
Oh, I'd say about...
Yeah, well, I'm not. I'm only 40. I mean, I... Oh, good heavens, I am talking a lot. But you see, I had to talk to someone.
Oh, that's all right. I'll get you custard.
Custard? How wonderful.
You mean you like it?
Oh, very much. And suddenly I find I've quite an appetite. You know, I think my cold must be getting better. I do believe I'm beginning to thaw.
What?
I said I believe I'm beginning to thaw.
Yes, that's what I thought you said. Dilg, for goodness sake, how much breakfast can a man eat?
How much have you got? So he's going to the Supreme Court, huh? That's too bad.
What do you mean, too bad?
Oh, a cold man like that. No flesh and blood experience with the law. That would be a very bad thing for the country.
I see. All of a sudden, you're worried about our country.
Our country first, yes. Then Leopold Dilg's neck will take care of itself.
Not if the professor sees the morning paper. Your picture plastered over the whole front page.
Oh, no, not the whole page. There was a column of nasty facts about me, however.
Sure you hit it.
Sure. Stop worrying. He won't even be down this morning. I'm with that cold of his.
Good morning.
Professor.
Nice morning, Miss Shelley. How are you, Joseph?
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor. I didn't think you'd be down or I wouldn't have...
No, not at all, Joseph. Stay where you are. Well, this is quite pleasant and companionable.
Thanks, Professor. I like you, too.
Good. Good. With Miss Shelley here, we make a very nice little family. Oh, and a dog. That completes the picture.
But he isn't ours. He lives down the road. He's over here, though, quite a bit.
Well, I'd be most happy to make his acquaintance. By the way, was there a morning paper?
No. I guess they forgot to deliver it. I'll tend to it today.
Thank you.
If you saw yesterday's paper, why read today's?
A coffee, Professor.
Please.
Just some more about that terrible man, Dilg.
Dilg? Oh, yes, the fugitive from justice.
Huh? Or injustice.
Sorry, Joseph. It isn't that I don't respect your intelligence, which I might say I find amazingly lively, but I simply refuse to be drawn into another argument about the law.
You must have some feelings.
Not about the law. No, if feelings had any influence on the law, half the country would be in jail. Facts, Miss Shelley, facts.
Oh, facts alone, Professor. That's a nut without the kernel. Where's the soul? Where's instinct? Where's the warm human side?
Joseph, I see your point of view, of course. Theoretically, but... Well, we have a visitor.
Bruce, get out of here.
No, wait. What's that he's carrying? Come here, you rascal. Come here, bring it to me. Let me have it now. That's it. That's a good dog. Just as I thought. That's where the morning paper went. Well, he must have... So... Joseph.
Professor?
Too bad. I have a very warm feeling for you, Joseph. Leopold.
I know, Professor, and I'm as fond of you as a brother.
Still, you understand that I must call the police.
And I guess you understand I can't allow it.
Believe me, my friend, I'm very sorry.
So am I, Professor.
No!
So am I.
Dilg, you crazy fool! What have you done?
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
This year marks Lady Esther's 30th anniversary. In this sense, it's my birthday. But I'm going to reverse the usual order of things. I'm going to make you a present. Yes, I am declaring a beauty dividend of Lady Esther four-purpose face creams and Lady Esther face powder, the essential beauty aids that help you look years younger, fresher, more attractive. In my 30th anniversary gift package, I offer you my large $1.38 jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and the 55-cent box of my exciting new bridal pink face powder. Altogether, this is a value of $1.93, but I offer it to you for only 98 cents. This means you save 95 cents. I'm so sure you'll want to take advantage of it that I have arranged to have my beauty dividend package ready and waiting at your favorite store right now. Especially if you have not yet tried Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and my exciting new bridal pink shade of Lady Esther face powder, this is a real opportunity to find out how surely these basic beauty aids help make your skin look years younger and fresher at once. I urge you, for your own attractiveness and charm, go to your favorite store tomorrow. Get your Lady Esther anniversary package and benefit by it at once. And you save 95 cents. This is a real bargain.
And now the second act of The Talk of the Town, starring Alan Jocelyn, Virginia Bruce, and Ronald Coleman.
I guess Leopold swung a little harder than he meant. The professor went down all in a lump. Then a door slammed somewhere. I realized vaguely that Leopold was gone, but somehow it didn't seem very important. The next thing I knew, I was sloshing water on the professor, and finally I got results.
Miss Shelley, I dare say you mean to be helpful, but do you think it quite necessary to drown me?
He had a pretty bad bump on his head, so I insisted that he stay in bed all through the day. That didn't seem to improve his mood either.
Miss Shelley, I do not require an ice bag for my head, or orange juice for my stomach, or a sleeping potion for my nerves. I require only to be left alone.
I can take a hint. Want the radio on?
If you insist.
I suppose that means yes. Well, it really would be simpler and nicer, too, just to say yes and let it go at that.
Some of the central figures of the famous Nell case.
First of all,
the man who has suffered such a great loss.
I want to hear this.
He himself to bring Leopold Dill to justice. The owner of the Holmes Woolen Mills, Mr. Andrew Holmes.
I haven't much to say. There can be no doubt about the man's guilt. A confirmed agitator and troublemaker. He's convicted himself. I promise you we'll find him. And when we do, justice will take its course.
I've never heard justice speak quite so stridently.
Wait a minute. Let's see who's next.
And now another central figure in the famous Dill case. Judge Grunstadt, in whose court the guilty man will be tried when he's caught. Your Honor, have you anything to say?
I believe that my professional opinion is best summed up in my instructions to the jury. I have demanded they bring in a verdict of guilty.
Well, that's strange. I didn't think the evidence was all in.
Evidence? Are you kidding?
And now another. A tragic figure in this case. Miss Regina Bush, fiancée of Clyde Bracken, who died in the fire. Miss Bush.
It's a terrible thing this is for a girl like me. One night I've got a man that weighs 200 pounds. And the next night all I got is memories. I suppose I'll forget someday. But in the meantime, my heart is very heavy as I go on with my work in La Dolores Beauty Salon, Fifth and Oak, from 10 to 6.
I'm sorry, Miss Bush. I'll have to stop you. Our broadcasting rules.
Sorry, Professor. But I guess you've heard about enough of that.
Perhaps. And perhaps I haven't heard enough.
I'm just trying to tell you for your own good, Professor. That was a nasty bump you had. If you stay home and rest this one extra day...
I believe I've indicated already It's imperative that I go out.
But why? What for?
For a haircut.
You mean you're going out just to...
Miss Shelley.
Yes.
Miss Shelley, I'm afraid I must ask your advice.
That's what I call a switch. All right, shoot.
Well, suppose you were a man.
Huh?
Not that I don't think you're quite adequate as you are, but... how would you extract some information from a woman?
Oh, well, just between us girls, Professor, the only guaranteed method is flattery.
Flattery?
You know the old line. No, maybe you don't. Eyes like stars, teeth like pearls, voice that sounds like angels singing.
Yes, it doesn't.
Well, tell her anyway. The worse she sounds, the quicker she'll believe you. Now, anything else?
Yes. Will you telephone and make an appointment for me?
Where?
La Dolores Beauty Salon, 5th and Oak. Miss Shelley, it worked. It worked.
Professor.
I talked, and then she talked. Do you understand that, Miss Shelley? She talked.
Who?
Miss Regina Bush. It wasn't much, of course, just a hint, but my instinct was right. I believe I can put my hands on her.
Oh, Professor, what are you talking about?
Miss Bush's fiancé, Clyde Bracken, the man who's supposed to have died in the fire. He's alive, Miss Shelley. He's in Boston this very minute. Oh, if only Leopold hadn't run away. If we could only prevent him from doing something idiotic.
Professor, I'm afraid you're a little late.
Dirk!
Leopold, you've come back.
Had to find out how you were, Professor. I was worried about you. Besides, I'm hungry.
Oh, Dilg, you crazy half-wit.
Oh, this is wonderful, wonderful. Miss Shelley, we're going to Boston to get Clyde Bracken. Leopold, you'll give yourself up. You'll be safer that way till we get
what?
Back.
Forgive me, Professor, but I think you're nuts.
Now, Leopold, if you'll just do
this
what I
this whole town's screaming for my scalp. I wouldn't have a chance.
Now, my friend...
And besides, I won't have you mixed up in this mess. You're headed for the Supreme Court, and that's where you belong. Our country needs a man like you. I'll go to Boston and get Bracken myself.
Leopold... I must ask you to do as I say.
Professor, I'm sorry, but that's impossible.
Then there's only one recourse left to me.
Oh, dear, here we go again. Professor, you better put down that phone or...
Sorry, Leopold, this one's on me! Hello. Hello, operator? Operator, I want the police.
Jiminy crickets, I've seen everything.
Miss Shelley, do you have a gun in the house?
Correction. I haven't seen everything. That was a pretty wild ride to Boston, but we picked up Bracken and he talked quite freely. I guess the professor's gun may have helped him a bit. It was a rotten story. Holmes was paying Bracken to hide out so he could slip a noose around Leopold's neck. That's all we needed. We loaded Bracken into the car and headed back fast. Very fast. But as it turned out, we didn't get there any too soon.
Miss Shelley, down the street there. What's that?
That's the jail. And that mob out there. Professor, I'm scared.
Hey, who did that? And there he is. He's got a gun.
Wait, you fools. Listen. Do you know this man? Look at him. Clyde Bracken. Alive.
Clyde Bracken?
There's the man the law is looking for. Not Leopold Dilk. His only crime was... that he had courage and spoke his mind. What are you doing here? Why have you come here with weapons and ropes? If you have any regard for your own happiness, take those weapons home and burn them. And after that, think.
Who are you to talk?
Yeah, who are you?
It doesn't matter who I am. All that matters here is the law. Your law. The finest possession you have. Your law. That protects your rights and your lives. Why have you come here to destroy it?
Oh, pipe down.
We don't need no lectures.
This is no lecture. No classroom. I'm not speaking of the law that's written in books, on fine, heavy paper, and then forgotten. I mean the law that guarantees justice to you and me and all our neighbors. That law has got to be engraved on our hearts and practiced every minute. It can't even exist unless we're willing to go down into the dust and blood and noise of battle every day of our lives to preserve it. You, all of you, observe that law here and now, or be ashamed for the rest of your lives.
Come on, men. Let's get out of here.
justice of the Supreme Court. Professor, you must be very proud.
I am, Miss Shelley. Prouder than ever before in my life.
Sometimes stories do end nicely in real life. You've worked so hard for it, and now you have it. Everything you want.
Well, not quite everything, perhaps.
Professor?
After all, Miss Shelley, professional success, a career, what's that? Just a nut without a kernel.
Huh?
What about a man's feelings? His emotions? What about the warm human side?
Well, what about it, Professor?
Well, Miss Shelley, I...
Maybe I can help. Michael, when are you going to call me Nora?
Miss Shelley, I despise offhand opinions, but Nora, my darling, it ought to be very soon.
Thank you, Ronald Coleman, Alan Jocelyn, and Virginia Bruce, for appearing with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players tonight. We are indeed grateful for your delightful performances.
We're glad to be here, Mr. Bradley. We look forward to our appearances with the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players because we know that the benefits from these programs go to support the Motion Picture Relief Fund and the wonderful work being done at the Country House. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Bruce. Ladies, if you haven't already made a note of my 30th anniversary beauty dividend, do be sure to jot it down now. For my Lady Esther anniversary package is now being featured at your favorite store, and it offers you a marvelous value. It's my way of including you in celebrating Lady Esther's 30th anniversary year. I have endeavored to make this an exceptional value for your money, and I'm sure you'll agree I've succeeded. Because my anniversary package contains a giant-sized jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, the size that usually sells for $1.38, and also a 55-cent box of Lady Esther face powder, bridal pink, my exciting, flattering new shade. Together, this represents a regular value of $1.93. But I have arranged to give you both in my anniversary package for only 98 cents. That's a big saving. You actually save 95 cents. But even more important, you provide yourself a generous supply of Lady Esther face powder and Lady Esther face cream, your two most essential beauty aids to help make your skin look smoother, fresher, and younger for months to come at a saving of almost exactly half. So do get your Lady Esther anniversary package at your favorite store early tomorrow.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present Guest Wife. It will star Claudette Colbert, Dick Foran, and Fred McMurray. Be sure to listen. The Talk of the Town was presented through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures, producers of Gilda, starring Rita Hayworth. Alan Jocelyn appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox and will soon be seen in their production, It Shouldn't Happen to a Dog. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night, all. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.